Have you ever heard an odd, inhuman screech late at night? Or witnessed an odd-looking owl perched in a tree? Could dark magic have led to a vengeful, shape-shifting entity? Today, we test the believability of La Lechuza.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. And more often than not, we go viable or skeptical because we're afraid to put our name on it.
Yeah, we go grayscale, middle.
I wonder at this point, when we get to episode 100, which isn't that far away now, but I hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. But anyway, when we get to 100, we should look at our believables. We should do a breakdown. I mean, like, we're not going to go episode by episode, but I think we should do a breakdown where it's like, all right, 100 episodes in, this is how many believables we did. This is how many viables we did. This is how many skepticals and unbelievables.
I feel like I have more viables. You have more skepticals.
I think that it's going to, if we combine them. So it's like every episode is worth two. You know, like you get one of each. Unless we both go believable, then whatever. I bet it goes viable, skeptical, believable, unbelievable. Do you have a guess?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think skeptical and believable are close. Like, I think viable is definitely number one. I think skeptical and believable, you could interchange. It could be believable, could be skeptical. It wouldn't shock me either way. But I think unbelievable is definitely probably our lowest, which is good since we're doing a paranormal podcast.
We almost never hit unbelievable.
It's like, guys, there are 100 episodes in and everything is unbelievable.
that'd be a trip.
So this is an exciting episode. This is an exciting week because this is not the first time this has ever happened, but we got a listener submission from Lacey. And so this is technically a listener submission episode, but reading it, she talks about an entity, this creature, the La Lechuza, which the way I just said that, I literally said the, because La is the.
That's right.
And I'm going to do that the entire episode, and I'm apologizing for it. Now, but when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute, we've never covered that, and there's probably a lot of people, me included, that don't know what it is.
I thought that you were saying La La Llorona wrong.
Nope. So I'm like, I'm gonna do a twofold. We're gonna do an episode on it, like a real full episode, and then we're gonna also tie it into the listener submission.
This is like you're bringing a new mechanic into the game right now.
I know, not the best week to do it. I'll tell you, not the best week to do it. I am tired AF. Not quite multiverse tired, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
This is where I went wrong. You ready? It'll be short.
Okay.
Went to a Cavs game last night. My drink of choice, typically, if it's not wine, is cranberry vodka. But this night, I was like, I'm going to do Red Bull vodka.
Oh, my God.
and I had 3.5 Red Bull vodkas, which means I had 3.5 Red Bulls.
Yeah.
So it was 2:45 a.m. and I work at 8 and I got to be up at 7. 2:45, 3 in the morning, and I'm sitting at my desk, not tired because of all the Red Bulls. And I'm like, this is stupid. And
that's bad.
I know, but my buddy I was with called me and we talked about work stuff. Then he hung up and then like 10 seconds later, he called me back. He's like, by the way, are you good? Like, you all right? I'm fine. So are you ready to dive into La Lechuza?
I don't know if I'm 3.5 Red Bulls ready, but yeah, here we go.
So, La Lechuza is a spooky Mexican folktale. The story goes that centuries ago, long, long time ago, there's a woman that was named Lechuza. And she was a witch. And I don't mean good witch. I don't mean bad witch. I'm not one to judge. There's people that do witchcraft and have the best intentions. So this isn't an anti-witch.
But would she hang out with the Witch of the West?
Or the Witch of the East?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she hang out with Galinda. Have you ever seen Wicked?
Yeah, I saw it live once a long time ago.
Okay. I've seen it live 1.5 times. But she's a witch, and, you know, we're talking centuries ago, and her village wasn't down with that. They didn't like that devil's magic, as they called it. So naturally, they did what any respectable village would do. They killed her.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Right
but on. They done goofed. They done messed up because they forgot that she had powers and spells.
Duh.
And witchcraft. So due to the town... And remember, this is a folk tale.
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate that this isn't like, check your newspapers in your library montage
your history books.
And find, you know, you're not finding newspaper articles. This is a folk tale.
Yeah.
But they forgot that she had these powers and these spells. So because they killed her, she decided to enact her revenge. And her way of doing that was to come back, but not as a ghost. She decided to come back as a creepy bird-like, owl-like lady.
Oh. Okay, so you know how Tom Brady retired, right?
Yeah, is he gonna, kind of.
Is he going to come back as the Brady?
The Brady.
And he's like this owl creature?
He's going to be a new Krypton.
Yeah, the Brady.
What creature do you think he would come back as? I don't see him as an owl.
He would come back like as
fox.
The deflator.
Oh, God. The deflator. Wherever balls are, he'll deflate them. Yes. Oh, God. No, because New England, I think of Foxborough. I picture him coming as a fox.
Oh.
I'm Tom Brady. I'm a fox.
Cutest little fox.
Now, before we get to what she looks like, because I know I kind of left you a little bit on a cliffhanger there. There's kind of another origin surrounding it.
Oh.
And the other origin says that La Lechuza is a ghost of a woman whose children were killed by a drunk driver. So I'm assuming this is less centuries ago. More like decades ago.
Probably within the 19th somewhere.
The 19th somewhere. Yeah. I think that's actually what it said. You know how I rearrange words.
Yeah.
But this loss of her children drove her to anger and resentment, which allowed her... I guess like the crow to come back, but it wasn't the crow, it was the owl to come back and inflict pain on people. A lot of people say that she actually has shape shifting abilities, so it's not like she's always in this owl like exterior, if you
guys,
want to call it that.
A guise is another word for disguise.
Guy. I thought you were saying guys. I'm like, I'm sure there's women that say it too. I don't know. Jeez. Yeah, it's a facade, it's a costume.
Good words for disguise.
Yeah. So it's during the day, she just looks like a woman.
Okay.
Some people say she just looks like a witch, but what does that mean? She just looks like a witch. She just has a wart on her nose and she wears a pointy hat.
Yeah, a hat.
Yeah. During the day. But at night, she's in her full owl attire. And what is that? So it's about 7 feet tall.
Damn.
Huge, huge wingspan. And they say it's like almost like an owl's body with a woman's face and woman's hair.
Does it say what kind of owl?
Mostly white. Like an all white. Like a snowy white. I don't know. Hedwig?
Hedwig is a snowy owl. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's weird because I've saw it. Well, we'll go into it in more detail. But some people say it's just like a normal looking owl that you get weird feelings about.
Okay.
Where other people are like, this thing's 7 feet tall.
Can it go like, this is, okay, so like,
hi.
No, this is like real, kind of like deep D&D stuff. If you're a werewolf, you can be a human, a mid-werewolf, where it's like a werewolf that's like on its like hind legs and it's like big, like a Harry Potter werewolf, and then you go full wolf.
Full wolf? You never want to go full wolf.
So is it like that, where you can go like, she can go like human, intermediate monster thing, and then owl?
You see, you might not have caught on, but this isn't an interview podcast, and I'm not La Lechuza, so I can't give you the details. I don't have the beans to spill, my friend.
Miss Lechuza.
I have a question. Can you go full owl?
Yes.
There's. I'll show you. You know, just as creepy, it's kind of like The Exorcist. Like, the owls can turn their heads all the way around. Mm-hmm. If she is like... Imagine a huge owl with a woman's head and hair. Ooh. Doing that full neck.
I don't like that at all.
No. No. But I've seen mixed reports, so I don't know. I don't know if maybe the times that she looks like an owl, she just went all the way, where other times, you know, they caught her in the twilight. She didn't quite make it over. But either way, bad juju, and nothing good comes from it. So here's a little bit more about La Lechuza, and this is from the website Scary Mommy.
Oh.com.
This apparently is like almost like a kid's tale thing.
Okay.
I didn't look into it in that forum. Like, I was looking into more like the serious encounters, the serious explanations, the serious more serious things about her, even though we haven't taken her seriously for 1 minute of this.
Not yet.
Not yet. But it seems like there's like a child's tale with it too.
Okay.
But we're not touching on that. But again, this is from scarymommy.com. And this kind of talks about her MO, so to speak, her modus operandi, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're into that Law and Order stuff. Who is the guy from Heavy Rain? Did you ever play Heavy Rain?
No, I only watched you play it.
What was that? What was the detective's name?
Jason.
No, what was the detective's name? Oh, Ash. Because he had a... his name is Norman Jaden, but he's got the accent. It's Norman Jaden. FBI Detective Norman Jaden.
Doesn't really flow, Norman Jaden.
Norman Jaden doesn't, but Norman Jaden, that's pretty good.
Or Norm Jaden.
Norm Jaden. Here are 8 facts about La Lachuza.
Okay.
According to scarymommy.com.
All right.
Number 1, she only comes out at night. And that might feel a little contradictory from what I said about 2 minutes ago.
You just said she comes out during the day.
As a woman. The creature, the entity, this mythical folklore, that's what comes out at night. It's at night that she transforms into this owl-like horror and terrorizes people. She's known to fly through the air, to perch on trees, and to prowl around looking for people to what? Slaughter.
Oh, you say eat, but...
Maybe. Okay. No, for real, maybe.
Oh, dang.
Maybe. Owls gotta eat, man. And if you hear an otherworldly screech late at night, it is a sign that very potentially La Lachuza could be around looking to kill.
This is quickly becoming one of the scarier cryptids we've covered, I think.
It's definitely intentionally bad.
Okay.
2, she can pose as a baby, kind of.
Oh, no.
Now, this actually reminds me of William's story.
I was thinking Skinwalker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mockery of voices and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about the crying that William heard in the woods. Yeah. So obviously that's what it reminds me of, as all great episodes do. Not saying that this is a great episode, but I'm also certainly not saying that this isn't a great episode. But La Lachuza can change her voice and mimic a baby crying and go outside your door. That way, when you, the very kind-hearted individual, assume that the stork you ordered from Amazon had finally arrived, you go outside, shocked to see that it's not a prime baby, but a horrifying owl woman. And she will pounce on you, and she will carry you away with her talons. Or she might kill you right there. Depends on what she wants, if she wants takeout or not. Talons was a word that confused me for a very long time.
It's in Napoleon Dynamite.
Is it?
Yeah, he's like, do the chickens have large talons?
Okay. I don't remember the first time I read it, but it took me a long time to understand. And another sign, going back to the baby in the door thing. So let's say you're smart, right? Let's say you know about the folktale, and you hear a baby crying outside, and... you know, it's not your baby, and you're assuming you're willing to risk that a baby might not make it, but you don't want to die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, I'm going to chance that it's not a real baby. And you open the door and there was no baby there. And you're like, oh my God, I'm saved. My life is good. How can you know that it could have been a La Lachuza? Well, if you look at your front door, it will have unexplainable scratch marks on it.
Oh my God. So it's on the door just like waiting for you to open and it's just like, oh.
And it's probably scratching with
talons.
The talons. Number 3, she may whistle outside your window.
That's also Skinwalker, isn't it?
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to tell you why no.
Okay.
Because there's no trance here. Like, this isn't like she's whistling to get into your subconscious and put you under a trance. I think of... Skinwalkers are kind of known to make sounds that put you almost like in hypnosis.
Okay.
Where she's just whistling. She just wants you to be curious enough to go look out the window. So then when you do look out the window, she can grab you with
her talons
and take you away. 4, she may run you off the road.
Oh my God.
In her best Annabelle impression, she may give you a little road trouble. They say when she's unusually hungry, she may choose to attack an entire car full of people. So she will bump in your car, she'll smash in your car, she'll stand in front of you in an intimidating fashion so that you swerve off the road and crash, and she has an entire smorgasbord of people in a crashed car.
Mothman.
Yeah. Jeepers Creepers.
Never seen it.
No?
Nope.
Never seen Jeepers Creepers? Mm-mm. That's a really scary. It's probably not as scary as it was when I saw it for the first time when I was really young, but it was terrifying. It's got what's his name in it. I like him. You know what I'm talking about.
Ethan Hawke? No.
No, I do like Ethan Hawke, though. No, the guy from Accepted.
Tusk. Oh, Jay? Jay something.
Justin Long. We paused it and we looked it up. Although we came up with it before we looked it up.
That's true.
You don't have to trust us, but it is the truth. Number five, don't dream about her. Do you have a guess what happens if you dream about La Lechuza?
Freddy Krueger's you.
No.
Oh, I don't know.
If you dream about her, someone in your family will die.
What? How do you choose not to do that?
That's the thing. Like, how does she know that you're dreaming about her?
I don't know.
It's probably the magic, right?
I guess. Like a psychical connection.
Yeah, that's crazy if like she like purposefully implants her into your subconscious so you have to dream about her.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not your fault. And then you're freaking out about your family the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, who is it going to be?
You're like, I hope it's this one. Six. Now, this is like Mothman. She could be a warning sign.
Oh, yeah.
Some folk believe that La Lechuza could be a warning sign of something bad to come. So instead of killing you or even harming you, if you see her late at night, she's using her presence to allude to something very bad and very dangerous that could be happening. Something like a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, or an explosion. Number seven, she is incredibly strong. Kind of like we discussed. We already said, like, she can literally fly people away. Grab you with the talons, scoop you up, take you away. All way, all day.
She's got that gains. She's got whey powder.
Yep. So she's incredibly strong. And finally, number eight, the most random, she can control the weather.
What?
Yeah. Maybe this is tied to her alluding to impending disasters because she's probably creating them.
Yeah, I could see
She's like, hey, there might be a tornado tomorrow. I'm not saying I'm the one creating it, but there might be one tomorrow. I don't know if it's something that like just a muster up. I don't know if it's on a whim. Boom, tornado. Again, potentially magic.
Yeah. I think that's it right there.
Yeah. Also,
a little bit cold, a little bit hot.
You could, maybe this is also, I think thunderstorm, not like tornado. Thunderstorms, okay. I feel like, is more attainable for me for some reason. It could be used as a way to maybe disarm or fluster her prey. You know what I mean? Like, you make it rainy and windy, and it makes it harder for someone to see and get away. Or when they're driving, maybe.
Makes it already scary, too.
They're already spooked. I don't know if it's like it, where they taste better if they're afraid, but... Mm. If someone's driving and she wants to run them off the road, just make it start raining, some lightning, give me a thunder crash here, Charlie. Yeah, right there. You heard it.
This might feel a little bit random. Did you ever dissect an owl pellet in fifth grade?
I've never dissected anything.
Okay. An owl pellet is the aftermath of when an owl eats something, like all the stuff that's left over, like the bones and the fur. And it was this long-standing tradition in Garfield Heights. It still happens. I've seen the projects where kids dissect these owl pellets and lay out the skeletons.
Sounds like fun.
It was really cool. But what kind of owl pellets do you think Lechuza has?
Not good ones.
No.
People's.
Yes.
Would you ever want to see a tornado in person?
No.
What about, if you somehow had a guarantee... Like an absolute guarantee that you'd be safe and not hurt. Would you want to see one from a distance?
No, I'm not into it.
What about like an Oklahoma where you have like, it's so flat for days it's flat and you could see it from so far away?
I've not an interest.
Okay.
No care in the world. Do you?
If I knew for a fact that I'd be safe. Yeah, I think so.
I'm no meteorologist.
Well, I know there's no way that anybody could tell me I'd be safe. I'm just saying if I knew for a fact. You know what I mean? I want to see, I've seen the Milky Way, but I really want to see the Milky Way. I want to see the Northern Lights and, you know, maybe a tornado from a distance. Maybe in that order, just in case the tornado kills me, right?
Yeah.
So you've seen La Lechuza, right? And it's bad news. Either she's beckoning something bad to happen in the world, or maybe your family's in danger, or maybe you are in danger. What can you do if you find yourself in this position? Well, they say. I didn't find a Reddit guide like in Kelpie how to catch one.
I love that.
But I did see that you should not approach her, you should not fight her, and you definitely should not shoot her. She's impervious to bullets, and this makes no sense, and I actually wasn't going to put it in here because it makes literally no sense. But I saw multiple times, so I'll say it. They said if you shoot her, somehow you might die.
What?
Like, not like, they didn't say, like, it's going to bounce off her and onto you. They're just like, yeah, if you shoot her, you might be the one that dies.
What?
Listen, I don't know. That's just what they say. But instead, they said your best bet is to use salt. She don't like salt. She gets bloated.
So she doesn't like salty foods.
Nope. Use salt, shake it around. But that's like traditional, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we joke, but I feel like that's a very traditional when it comes it to like witchy. It is because
it represents purity.
Does it?
Yeah.
What if it's Splenda?
What?
That's sugar. Let's move on to encounters.
Tyler, I just love tattoos so much.
I know. Didn't you just like get your 50th one?
No, it's only my 5th. What tattoo style should I get next? Person with no tattoos?
Let me tell you, not to flex my Ink Master knowledge here, but if you like horror designs and American traditional tattoos, stop what you're doing and check out LastLightApparel.com for people like me with no tattoos.
All the merch is awesome and spooky. With designs like their Forever Emo Cassette and Rose, which are bound to hit you right in the nostalgic feels. I'll make damn sure. If you know, you know.
I love their sick traditional Death Moth hoodie.
I seriously might end up getting new ink because of Last Light Apparel.
And for you bizarros out there, if you use their promo code BTB at checkout, you get 15% off your entire purchase.
Just like this podcast, keep supporting indie artists. And don't forget to use the promo code BTB for 15% off.
Again, that's lastlightapparel.com. Traditional apparel to die for. Okay, now is encounter time. I feel like I have a whole different perspective now. We took a little break.
Yeah.
We got a little water. I hope you took a break. This, you know, if you ever take a break during the podcast, those sad bumps are there for you. They're like kind of commercial breaks.
They're like bookmarks.
I mean, we actually have commercials.
They're like chapter marks.
Yeah, it's like that's when you pause it. You get some water, maybe make some tea. But we did, and we were watching something about La Lechuza. And all it takes is like an image.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I'm like, this is really terrifying.
That's happened to me during several of our episodes before.
Yeah, even Gryla, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's funny. It's like this troll. It's like this silly thing. And then you look at a picture of it.
Step back.
She's eating a child. Yeah, and it's like...
From the ribs.
So we just saw, like, a painting of La Lechuza. Painting? Is that what you... Like, art? It's artwork.
Yeah,
sure. It wasn't...
Yeah,
you
know, something.
It wasn't a Polaroid.
Could have been digital.
It was creepy. And now I'm, like, thinking about, like, actually seeing that outside.
I don't like it.
So it is the perfect time to get into some encounters.
Yes.
I have two encounters, which came from Thought Catalog. And then, obviously, we have the listener submission from Lacey, which inspired the entire episode. So, thank you, Lacey. So, are you ready for encounter number one?
Yes.
It's going to be the two encounters from Thought Catalog are going to be quotations, first person. And then I'm going to tell Lacey's story. You with me?
Yes. Yeah, I got you.
All right. Story one, quote, I live in South Texas. I've been researching on La Lechuza tonight. I was driving back to town and a huge white owl flew in front of my truck. I would say it was coincidence, but this is the third time in 3 weeks that this has happened to me. Twice coming back from out of town and once at midnight getting out of work. I've been searching for sites on common birds to this region and the owls in this part of Texas don't even come close to the bright white color and the size of the owls that I've almost crashed into in my car on multiple times. They keep flying in front of my windshield. I didn't believe in these Mexican urban legends before, but after getting hexed in Panama, I know anything is possible. Unquote. What the fuck? What the fuck? Hexed in Panama. I want a part two Thought Catalog.
Oh my God. That person needs to get a Salt Gun Draco.
Salt Gun Draco?
Yeah. It's a machine gun.
Okay. Story number two. Quote, I swear on my life that I saw that bird. I saw it when I was 9 or 10. I lived south of San Antonio, along 35 between two little towns called Von Ormy and Lytle. I was at home alone waiting for my dad to get back from work. I was on the couch watching SpongeBob, which was my favorite. It was a bit late. The sun had set maybe an hour or so before, but the moon was full and lit everything enough that you could see like a dim light was on. My grandma's house was on the same plot of land about a few hundred yards in front of my house. I looked out the window because I saw movement near her back door. I thought my dad had stopped by there first and was walking home. I ran outside on the front porch to wave at him and to yell hello, but it wasn't my dad that I saw out there. I saw this massive bird. I mean, this thing had to have been the size of Big Bird from Sesame Street. Remember, I was a kid at the time.
Yeah.
Much bigger than any hawk or buzzard I've ever seen before. It was sitting on the picnic table in my grandma's yard, and it was looking dead at me. I froze, but I didn't feel too scared. I was just really interested in this giant bird outside. It was jet black. All I could see was the outline of it and its eyes shining in the moonlight. I slowly went back inside and I peeked at it through the window on the front door. I was amazed by it. I had never seen anything like it. We stared at each other for what must have been a few minutes. Suddenly, it spread its wings and flew away. I told my dad about it when he got home, and he laughed it off. But I told my grandma the next morning while we were eating breakfast, and she went crazy. She started saying prayers over and over again. Then, she told me the story of La Lechuza, which I had never heard before. It sent shivers down my spine, knowing that it was staring at me so intensely. After thinking about it for a few days, I started to wonder if it wasn't there to hurt me, but to warn me about something. Sure enough, a few weeks later, a huge storm came through. There was a funnel cloud nearby, but thankfully it never touched down. The wind did a lot of damage to our house, but my grandma's was completely untouched, and that picnic table was the only piece of furniture outside that wasn't blown away. Unquote.
Oh, so like the doom burying thing.
Yeah, yeah, that one was less, I'm going to kill you, more like storm's coming.
Yeah.
Get your insurance, you know, lockdown. You know what's sad? And I was just thinking about this the other day, and it's because they were talking about picnic table not blowing away. Isn't it sad that at our college, they didn't trust us so badly that the picnic tables on our campus were chained to the ground?
Yeah, that's true.
That's Akron right there.
I feel like we would have.
What, we would have taken them?
I don't think we would have taken them. We would have flipped them over.
We had the
I
most
feel like I might have flipped them over.
Bullshit, like, college 20-year-old man furniture in our apartment.
That's true. We had crates.
We had, like, a card table. A
card table.
Like a poker card table, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which was our kitchen table.
Yeah.
We had, like, a brown couch and then a random recliner.
Wasn't it Alex's old couch?
It might have been.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, so it wouldn't have been that surprising if we walk in and it's like, oh, look, picnic table from yes. right by Bolger.
Isn't that from Buckle?
Yeah. All right, so now let's get into Lacey's listener submission. So here is Lacey's listener submission.
That's a tongue twister.
It is, just like La Lechuza. So this takes place back in 2006, and Lacey at this time is living with her now ex-husband in an apartment in San Antonio. Seems like San Antonio.
Texas area, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Texas, but this is the second San Antonio story.
Yeah.
So while they're on a date, and you know, it's romantic, they're on the hood of a car, they're looking at the stars, Texas, Tony Parker, that's from the Spurs, Popovich, you feel me. Her boyfriend at that time was talking about La Lechuza, you know, to get that mood right, you know what I mean? You're laying on yeah, a car, yeah. Looking at the stars.
That's why he's an ex.
So the way he described it was, quote, a type of witch that can shapeshift between a human woman, a winged woman, and an owl, and she preys on the faithful much like a demon, unquote. His words. He claimed that multiple members of his family were plagued by La Lechuza across many generations. Now, from the description that he gave to Lacey, I assume that he would think that his family was plagued and targeted by La Lechuza because of his faith. Maybe he was a very... Yeah. It seems like on this, based on the story, which is, you know, complete assumption, reading between the lines, that they probably have a lot of faith, so maybe he feels like he kind of attracts it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at this point, Lacey took the story worth a grain of Splenda. She figured, you know, it's late, they're in this dating phase, and he just wanted to tell her something spooky and exciting, you know, kind of rile her up a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, kind of tease and like, ooh, let me tell you something spooky. Those honeymoon phase ghost stories. And it worked. A few years later, they were married, they had a pug, and they were living in a nicer apartment. And all was well and good until one late summer evening. Lacey was awakened by loud noises coming from inside the apartment. Not yet having her bearings in the dark and being completely startled, she started looking for her husband, who she realized was not in the bed. When her eyes adjusted to the dark, she noticed that he was across the room, staring at a blank spot on their wall.
What?
She couldn't see his face, but she could hear that he was breathing heavily. She asked him what was going on and what that noise was. Silence. She waited a few more moments. Silence. Other than his back rising and falling with each labored breath, he didn't move an inch. She asked him again what was going on, but still, there was nothing. At this point, the silence was killing Lacey, so she got out of bed and went next to him. That's when she saw what he was staring at. Right in the wall was a huge softball-size hole. Even with her standing next to him, looking at this literal crater in the wall, he hadn't acknowledged her. So Lacey put a hand on his shoulder to get his attention. As soon as her hand touched his shoulder, he flinched, pulled away, and lifted his fist toward her like she was a threat. Thankfully, he snapped out of his trance and realized that it was Lacey that was standing in front of him. He hugged her, apologized, and asked if she was okay. Once his breathing calmed down and they sat back on the bed, he explained to Lacey what had happened. He had been woken up in the middle of the night and saw La Lechuza hovering over him. Not only did he see this terrifying owl-like woman lingering over him in the bed, but he found that he was unable to breathe, like he was being strangled. He started silently praying the best that he could for protection, and thank goodness he was able to break the hold La Lechuza seemed to have over him. But he didn't want to back off. He charged the owl creature and knocked it against the wall and started punching it in the face. He said it was the back of La Lechuza's head that actually caused the hole in the drywall. Now, Lacey admits, okay, this sounds silly. And perhaps, you know, he was just in a drowsy state, not saying it was a hallucination, but maybe he was sleepwalking. All of that seemed way more believable than the idea that her husband was beating up a mythical creature. Of course, her husband argued, like, no, I'm telling you the truth. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is what happened. He said, I literally felt the creature's teeth against my knuckles as I was punching it. But that ordeal was never fully resolved, and Lacey went back to sleep, skeptical, and honestly still assuming that it was her husband that punched the hole in the wall for whatever reason. But she did notice that while his fist was actually really bloody, there was not a single speck of blood on the drywall, which she found odd. So a few days later, Lacey's husband was working late, and she went out to the apartment's courtyard to walk their pug before she went to sleep for the night. I changed this and I keep saying her dog, her pug. Her dog's name is Lucy. I feel like I want to give it credit. I want to say the dog's name is Lucy, But if I start throwing Lacey's and Lucy's out there,
yeah,
that's bad news for everybody. So I'm giving the dog its credit. Her name's Lucy. But for the remainder of this, it's the dog or the pug.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
So anyway, back to the courtyard. So her dog sniffing around, doing what dogs do, trying to find a good place to do the duty. Lacey heard a rustling up ahead in the trees that lined the courtyard. And it was a strange noise that she says that she's never heard before, but not just the noise itself, but how high it was. It sounded almost like a large creature that was shuffling from a bush, like bush to bush on the ground, like heavy, huge creature moving across the brush, but it was up high in the trees. Very strange, very unusual. So Lacey looked up, obviously, and started inspecting the trees to see what this could be, but it was dark and she really had trouble identifying anything. Her attention was pulled away, though, when she felt a strong tug under dog's leash, which her dog's fine. Dog stays fine. Stop worrying about the dog. The dog is good. It was a retractable leash, so it just reached its limit. She was pulled, and she looked over with her attention being pulled away from the trees, and she saw her dog, which was frozen, but looking up at a different direction. So Lacey followed her dog's gaze, and that's when she saw a huge white owl perched on one of the branches, staring back at them. She said it mostly looked like a normal owl, but it felt completely out of place. Plus, she thought it was strange how her dog was acting, because apparently this pug is known for barking, jumping like crazy, being loud when other animals are around or when she has her attention on other animals. But in this instance, in this case, the dog was being very quiet, startled, but focusing very intently on this thing up in the trees. So she felt a cold chill. It didn't feel right. She quickly grabbed her dog and they went back inside. And she didn't immediately tell her husband about this strange encounter, but it wasn't long after this experience that he mentioned to her that he could still feel La Lechuza lurking nearby. He could feel it messing with him, giving him negative thoughts and planting negative images in his head. This is when Lacey finally described her experience to him, which he took as complete confirmation that his suspicions were true. And that, thankfully, is the last of anything she experienced at this apartment and anything since she submitted to us. Hopefully, she hasn't experienced anything. It takes us a long time to get some of these stories. So hopefully, nothing's happened since. Obviously, this is like 2006, so I'm assuming she's good. She did say, you know, been good since then. Obviously, she chose other courtyards to walk her dog in at the time, and she was always on high alert. But she's good. Healthy. Hopefully, dog still kicking. Doing good.
2006?
Let's get to the discussion. Now is the time that we love to thank our existing and our new patrons, which are, as of the recording of this podcast, Madison, Amira, Chelsea, Samantha, and Shelby. Which, shout out Amira. Whenever I see a name that is cool and awesome, but I'm like, I don't know how to say that, I always try to get some type of pronunciation or like some type of phonetic, but they literally sent me a link that's like, here's how you say this name, and it just said it over and over again. I'm like, this is genius. So thank you, Amira, for that. That was awesome. But anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about Patreon. We're talking about bonus content. We're talking about ad-free episodes. We're talking about quizzes, listener submission interviews for deeper dives. This Thursday, 2 days from now, we are watching a horror movie on Netflix with our dedicated tier. We're talking about a watch party.
It's a lot of fun to watch with us because I usually have not seen them.
More often than not, Charlie has not seen them. We're throwing some new classics.
Everything is new for me. I've never seen... What was the one we just watched?
I know you did last summer.
I know what you did last summer, and now I know too.
Don't you want to watch scary movies with us? Doesn't that just sound like a grand old time? Also, update. We are currently at 90 patrons. That means only 110 more before Charlie gets that sweet, sweet ink. Although he's been kind of tattoo crazy lately, so save some skin for BTB, all right?
I got it, don't worry.
But seriously, thank you everybody who's supporting us on Patreon. Thank you to everybody who just joined recently. It literally is a community, and it is really cool in that way, because I guess one thing I didn't mention on here was the Google Hangouts. And it's like, now that we've been doing this for like 8 months, whatever, it's like you start seeing the same people over again, and it's not just like talking about the podcast. Like we can go 45 minutes talking about anything else, everything else, actually like bringing up things we talked before, like getting to know people. I don't know, it's really
incredible.
Cool.
It's incredible getting to know people just because they like the show.
Yeah, and it's like friends now, which is just, it's crazy. It's really awesome. So I appreciate everybody for that. But without further ado, let's get to the discussion. All right, so let's segment this out between the folktale and the listener submission.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay.
Because I consider those almost two separate things. Obviously, one is going to impact the other, because I feel like I didn't get your opinion too much on this in general. What do you think about this entity? And remember, again, this isn't like newspaper clippings. This is a folktale.
Yeah.
Because I know you want to go to medical records. You want to be like, has it ever been charged for drunk driving? Are there any police reports?
Well, here's the thing.
Child endangerment.
Well, the second story was definitely child endangerment. I really buy this. I really, really buy into this. That almost feels strange for me, doesn't it?
A little. Yeah, a little.
What
sells you? What sells you?
Not the folktale itself. Not the folktale. Although...
Well, we're talking about the folktale.
Listen, witch is dying and casting a curse. One of my premises for one of my favorite movies, the Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the same exactly, but I could see it happening. And I could see a world, maybe this world, where something like that could happen.
I guess if you think about, like, if somebody has power and an entire village is going to, you know, do you harm. I mean, nobody's saying she deserved it. Nobody, we don't know that, you know, maybe she was evil, maybe she wasn't. But regardless, if you're thinking about this person who has power, right,
mm-hmm.
and they're harmed, and they have the opportunity to get revenge, or they have the opportunity to be vindictive, then it starts making sense for sure.
I don't know. It's just, for some reason, I'm just like bought in tonight.
I'm a visual person. I was more bought in when we took that break and I saw the picture, and it's just like
maybe it's a retroactive connection for me. Maybe that's what it is, because I think that's when it really pulled me in.
I don't know. Sometimes things, they just seem so silly, and then you, like, take a step back, or you really think about it, or you put yourself in that position where it's like, I'm walking home late at night, and I hear rustling. I look up, and I see this large owl-like creature that has this terrifying woman's face and long hair. Like, that's not a joke.
No. I do want to bring this up really quick, though.
Yeah.
Owls are indicative with aliens.
That's true, like the fourth kind.
Yeah, that's the thing. People, the idea is they get abducted or they see aliens and they're mentally replaced with owls.
Because the eyes. The eyes. Yeah, yes. I don't know, dude. I don't know. That's true. Actually, I didn't think about that. That's creepy, man.
So I wonder.
So you think maybe it's an alien?
It could be an alien. It could be an alien.
I don't know why. Alien. Naturally, that's like more... I feel like that's more believable for me than this folktale, but, and also, I just want to say this now, like we're silly without, that's kind of our, how we handle
fear.
Episodes, and, but I know that too, like, we're not trying to insult, like, there's probably a very large community, especially in, like, the Mexican culture.
Yeah.
We're not trying to demean it. Okay, so you're more bought in than I am, but I like that. So now let's move on to the specifics. Lacey's encounter. So recap, she wakes up, her husband's bought in. 100% bought
100%
in.
Honey.
Yeah, he's all about La Lechuza. And she wakes up, she sees him looking at a wall, heavy breathing. She calls out, nothing. Calls out again, still nothing. Walks over, touches him. He snaps out of something. There's a hole in the wall the size of a softball. He's like, I punched it in the face, made the hole. She's like, okay. But the no blood thing.
The last detail freaks me out.
No blood thing. And then a few days later, she sees an owl on a tree with her dog.
Giant owl. Giant white owl.
Big
which
owl.
Are not indigenous to Texas.
She did say that in her listener submission, that she's like, I'm not a zoologist, but I don't think that these white owls are from here. So now, that said, good summary, nutshelling. You literally just listened to it, but you're welcome. What do you think about that experience? There's two angles. It's like, okay, could it be La Lechuza? And if not, is it just strange? Or did they experience something?
I feel like they must have experienced something. The last detail about the husband waking up and the no blood on the wall, that's what makes you question the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I know. It was an excellent detail to have.
Yeah.
See, if this was fake, like if let's say I wrote, let's say I'm lazy.
Okay.
And I'm like, I want my encounter to be on a podcast. But I knew it was fake. If I knew it was fake, I would have had a few days later, I would have had my character with my dog, which would have been a lab, right? Yeah. Lab mix, and Annie. And we would have been looking up and we would have seen an owl, except this large white owl would have had a huge gash on its forehead.
Oh, to match the...
Or I guess it would have been the back of the head. And in that case, it literally could have happened and we wouldn't have known because she saw the owl head on.
Yeah.
So she would not have known if it actually had that injury.
He said it felt the teeth connect to his fist.
Yeah, so he was punching it, which is a terrifying
thing.
I mean, that means it was that means it was grimacing, right? Like, that's bad. Ugh. I didn't think about it. At first, I was thinking about like the gash. I'm like, why wasn't it there? But that makes sense. It would have been the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say this. Regardless of whatever I say in our final rating, this is a whole nother category that episodes live in. It's the night dog test. If I walk my dog late at night after we record, am I freaked out?
Okay.
This is one now that I think I am a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's definitely certain ones that just really get in my head about, like, Black Eyed Kids was the first time it ever happened. After not I on this in, podcast,
yeah.
Different podcast. But I remember just walking, because I love walking late at night, especially in the summer. Like, I'm not doing it in the winter now. Sorry, Annie. But, like, you're just walking around, and it's dark, and there's, like, one street light, and you're like, ugh, I'm just thinking about this. I feel very vulnerable right now.
Annie's listening. She just turned the podcast off.
She's like, man, he ain't never walking me, man. Like, man. He's fronting.
So, after I put in the effects, I think this one's going to get you.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah, every now and then, sometimes even if it's not that scary, like no offense, Haunted Disney was not that scary.
No, it wasn't.
But there was music that was being played when they were talking about seeing like the shadow person.
Yeah.
That really freaked me out when I was walking Annie.
Just in that moment.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, I don't like that. But if this topic wasn't La Lechuza, which I like that you brought aliens into this because that came really far to left field, but it makes sense. But if it was just like, there's this entity that is harming people, and it can look like an owl and shapeshift, and it's Southwest. You know, I feel like I just skinwalker. Like I feel
skinwalker.
I feel like that's just like my blanket. You know what I mean? That's like, oh, it must be a skinwalker.
It's not a good blanket to have.
No, it's not. But
I could easily see it. I understand your point.
Yes. So do you think Lacey experienced this entity? Or do you think it could have been something else?
Maybe this entity is similar, to a skinwalker. Maybe it's something of its own. Maybe it's its own offshoot.
Well, I mean, the folktale is that it's a witch.
Yeah.
Person that died, and they have witchcraft, and they can turn into
animal,
an owl.
Yeah. So maybe it's a more specific skinwalker.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we didn't.
That's Navajo.
Yeah, I would say that's Navajo. It's different.
Yeah, that's Native American.
I don't want to mix it up.
This is a Mexican folktale.
Right. But a lot of it bleeds. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I could see it.
It's not like an insect where you look at it and then you Google it and you're like, oh, it's this species from, you know, like this type of beetle.
Right.
Like, that's not how paranormal entities are. Now, I think like you can be like demonic versus a spirit or a ghost, or like you are very well educated in terms of aliens and different races and everything like that. But like when it comes to this type of stuff,
I don't think it's a spirit. I think it's physical.
It seems like it. If it's real, it seems like it. What's great about her listener submission experience is that it's subjective enough that I believe it, even if it's not true. Like, yeah. I'm not saying she made it up But it, you could, there's like two sides to her story. There's the side where there really is this creature, La Lechuza, and he experienced it and he feels like he's being hunted and she witnessed it outside. But then there's this also this like parallel experience where maybe he was drowsy or a little out of his mind, and I mean that in a respectful way, and freaked her out, and he doesn't know really what he experienced. Obviously, it doesn't explain the blood, but putting that aside. And then she just happened to coincidentally see an owl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those could both be 100% true, which is crazy.
My biggest question with the listener's submission is, what happened to it if he did attack it and there's no blood on the wall? What happened to the thing? Where'd it go?
No idea.
Me neither.
I'm going to give it a viable because I want viable to win at the 100 episode. I'm just kidding. It feels too similar to other things to go fully believable. Like, I think there's an opportunity for this to have been mistakenly. The folktale is its own thing. Like, in that culture, here's the folktale. Here's what people think it is. But that doesn't mean it's not being miscategorized. But I also have this natural buy-in to where I think I'm just kind of freaked out by it right now.
Yeah.
But because it lends itself to, like, in my mind, like, I'm drawing connections to skinwalkers. I love that you brought in aliens. It's kind of feeding more into the fire of it. So I'm going to give it a vial. I'm not sold. And I love this listener submission just because I love that it can be true without it being paranormal. Like, there's some instances where it's like so overly paranormal, like the vanishing woman. Like, I saw a ghost in the window on like the second floor. And it's like, okay, you either have to believe them or you're saying you do not believe them. This is one of those cases where they could be Lacey could be telling the truth 100%, and it's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So I'm going to go viable for now.
So I'm going to go believable. I think because of the area, where it's at, it's so specific, and the details are pretty consistent. I'm going to go with believable.
So what you're saying is after we hit up Hamilton, Montana, and we come down to Denver, you want to go all the way down to San Antonio to see if we can find La Lechuza.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So that is our episode on La Lechuza and our listener submission on La Lechuza. Yeah, but so now that you heard the listener submission, can you see how it naturally lended itself to actually talking about it entirely?
Absolutely.
So awesome.
It was good build up to the story.
For sure. It's like you got all the background. You got the 101 class. You learned about it. You saw what it does. You got the 101. It can control the weather. We don't know how that came about. It didn't come about, but you know it.
That's true. But you know what I know? That I like listening to the show. So I gave our podcast a 5-star rating on Apple.
Are you one of our 5 stars?
I am one of our 5 stars. But if you like the show, please feel free to leave a review and a 5-star rating as well.
I already did. Oh, you're not talking to me. You're not talking to me. Okay.
Everyone else.
Well, hopefully they already left a review too. Hopefully everybody listening has left a review, right? What's your excuse for not leaving a review?
Oh, I'm not on Apple. Stop it. Because on Spotify, you can also leave a 5-star review.
What if they're on Stitcher?
I don't know anything about Stitcher.
You're not on Stitcher. You know what? Hit us up. I want to find the most unusual place that someone listens to us. If you're the most unusual, it's subjective. You won't win anything. We'll shout you out maybe. Let us know where you listen, because there has to be some random ass platforms out there, because we syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be some random places that people listen to us. It'd be fun to hear. Most of y'all are on Spotify, and we appreciate you for that.
Almost 300, by the way.
Nice. And remember, if you like wearing merchandise that says your favorite podcast on it, head to believingthebizarre.com, shop merch. We have awesome designs. I'm not going to say we have some stuff coming out eventually, but we got some stuff coming. It's cooking. It's in the oven. We're farther away. I probably shouldn't even be mentioning it right now. We're like preheating the oven.
So we got the wet batter going.
We're a little bit ways away. So start saving up.
Because it's going to be super expensive.
It's going to be like thousands and thousands of dollars. It's going to be gold plated.
Yeah.
We're literally building a UFO. Okay. I said it. All right. We're building a UFO. And also, I said this last week, check out our YouTube. It's Believe in the Bizarre. We're going to start doing some more video content on there. Every end of the month, we're going to be ranking the episodes that we talked about that month. So that way, at the end of the year, we have a most believable episode and a most unbelievable episode, which will not include listener submissions, but we are going to, I think we should include La Lechuza. We just want to do Lacey's encounter.
For sure.
But seriously, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.
La Lechuza. La Lechuza. La Lechuza. Okay.
There you go.